Today is Monday evening, December 13th, or Zion Tevet. This is the Gemara Shir. We're up to Masecha Sukha, Daf Lamed Chesam Beis. Lamed Chesam Aleph. Okay, Rabotai, we're on the bottom of Lamed Chesam Beis, top of Lamed Chesam Aleph. Gemara on the bottom of Lamed Ches Amud Beis had made a statement quoting a machloikis between Rava and Rav Safra. Rava said the last two lines, three lines of the page, that when one says the phrase Baruch Haba B'Shem Hashem, you should not pause after the word Haba, but rather you should say them together, Baruch Haba B'Shem Hashem, together. Because if you're going to pause, it looks like the word B'Shem Hashem is just standing as a dangling participle. It has no meaning. The word Shem Hashem means absolutely nothing. Baruch Haba B'Shem Hashem means blessed are those who come in the name of the Lord. But B'Shem Hashem, in the name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, doesn't mean anything. So if you're going to say Baruch Haba, and then take a little dremel, a little snap, a little snooze, and then you suddenly wake up and say B'Shem Hashem, that's inappropriate. It looks like you are Mazkir Shem Shemaim Levatala. And Rav Safra responded and said, Leslan Ba. As long as you think that you are going to say the words B'Shem Hashem, it makes no difference that you said Baruch Haba 10 minutes earlier, since your intention obviously is to state Baruch Haba B'Shem Hashem. We are not concerned that it's going to look like that the word Shem Hashem or the word Shem Hashem are standing independently and would mean absolutely nothing. So that's what the Gemara said. So tonight we're going to see another case which is similar to it, which happens to be something which we say many times every single day. And there is a machloikis between the Haggadah Ashri and most others as to how to interpret what the Gemara says. Line 2 on the top. Amar Rava. Lo leima inish yehe shmei rabba then v'hada mevarach. You should not say, when responding in Kaddish, Yehei Shmei Rabba Mevarach Li'olam El-Meil Maya, you should not say Yehei Shmei Rabba Mevarach. But should you say Yehei Shmei Rabba Mevarach? Complete the phrase. Because once again, if you're going to say Yehei Shmei Rabba, may the great name of the Lord, what about it? What about it? So the word Mivarach has to be attached to it so we know what you want to mean about the name, the great name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that it should be blessed. Consequently, you should not delay between the word Shmei Rabbah and the word Mivarach. Elo Yehei Shmei Rabbah Mivarach Bahadi Hadadi. You should say them together, one swift motion, so that the intent of your statement is perfectly clear. Amalei Rav Safra, said Rav Safra, Moshe Shapir Ka'amrit, meaning a little dig. You think you're the great Moshe Rabbeinu? You think you're so smart, Rava? You think you're Moshe Rabbeinu? You think Moshe Rabbeinu would say something like that? What, are you serious? Ella, Hasam v'hacha, there in the case of what? Baruch Haba B'Shem Hashem, and here in the case of Yehei Shmei Rabba Mevarach, Asuke Milsa Hu V'Leslan Ba. We know what he's planning on saying. You know he's planning on saying Mivarach. So the mere fact that he's dribbling, he's taking a little snooze after the word Rabba, and has not yet completed the phrase Mivarach, there is nothing to worry about. That's the way Rav Safra responded to both cautions by Rava, that there is absolutely nothing to worry about. indeed to mention Shem Hashem, just say Yehi Shmei Rabba with nothing in mind, that's mentioning Shem Shemayim Levatala. But if you're planning on completing the phrase, there is absolutely no necessity that you actually complete it immediately. Having some time in between is okay. That's what the Gemara seems to say. There is a Gemara in there is a Hagos Ashri in Maseches Brachos in Perek Gimel Siman Yutes, where the Hagos Ashri writes that the concern is not between the word Rabba and Mavarach, but the word Yehi Shmei Rabba, between the word after Yehi Shmei and Rabba. There should be no pause whatsoever between the phrase Yehi Shmei Rabba, but you should say Yehi Shmei Rabba Mivarach Li'olam Olmei Olmaya. And according to Hagos Ashri, it's perfectly okay to have a gap between the word Rabba and Mivarach. That's okay. But you should not have a pause between the word Shmei and Rabba, between the words Shmei and Rabba. That's where the pause should not be. What's happening here? The debate is, what exactly is the nature of the praise which we recite every single time we're in the middle of Kaddish? What exactly are we trying to say? The standard interpretation is like our Gemara, that the thought reads the way it's translated in every art scroll. May the great name of God, Yehi Shmei Rabba, Yehi Shem Hashem HaGadol, Mivarach, it should be blessed, Le'olam Olomei Olmaya, meaning Le'olam Va'ed, Yehi Shem Hashem Mivarach, but not just Shem Hashem, Yehi Shem HaGadol, Shem Hashem HaGadol, Mivarach, Le'olam Va'ed. That's what it means. Therefore, the word Mivarach, according to our Gemara, should be attached unto the word Rabba. Great name should be blessed. The Hagos Ashri believes, and there are other Rishonim as well, who say that's not the intention of the phrase. The intention is to say that Yehi Shmei Rabba is not an adjective describing the name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but Rabba meaning complete, shalem. And you're asking the name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu to once again be complete, complete. Then there is a second independent phrase that the name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, once it has been complete, shall also be blessed. So a delay before the words Mivarach is of no problem, no consequence to him whatsoever. But what you should be saying is Yehi Shmei, and do not delay between the word Shmei and Rabba, because once again it's going to sound like you're saying nothing. May the name of God, name of God be what? May the name of God be Shalem, Rabba, complete. What is this based on? It's based on a pasuk at the end of Parshas Bishalach. Many of you remember this pasuk. It describes the battle of Amalek, the actual battle of Amalek, not Parshas Zachar, in which we remember what happened, but the description of the encounter at Rephidim. Vayavo Amalek, vayilache im Yisrael b'Rephidim. It's the Kriyas HaTorah for Purim morning. So at the end of the Parsha, it says, Ki yod al kes ya milchama lashem ba'amalek midor da. Ki yod al kes ya. The hand of HaKadosh Baruch Hu in proclaiming his throne, kes is short for kisei, of ya, yud hey, says Rashi, citing the Gemara, yud hey is not really an independent Shem Hashem. It's half of Yud Kei Vav Kei. The name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Yud Kei Vav Kei. But when you want to indicate that there is something lacking in the name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it's not Bishleimut, that's when you say Yah. Now, halachically, the word Yah has a status of the name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. because it's found in Tanakh. There are times we say it in Ashrei. V'anachnu nivarech ya me'atov yad olam hallelujah. So the word Yud K, the letter Yud K, is found in Tanakh as a separate independent name. But Chazal don't view it as such. They look at it as a half of the name of Yud K Vav K. And the thought is, Ad shiyimache zaroshil malamalek, until the Amalek, until the children of Amalek will be totally eliminated, ein shmo shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu shalem. God cannot consider himself as sitting on his royal throne with a state of wholesomeness. He is not wholesome if the peoples of Amalek are still running around. Because as the Torah explicitly says, the battle against Amalek is not necessarily against Am Yisrael. As the Pasuk says, it's Milchama Lashem Ba'amalek. They are, the people of Amalek are attacking HaKadosh Baruch Hu by attacking Am Yisrael. They're denying his existence, they're denying his authority, they're denying his power. So as long as there are people on this planet running around denying his power, the throne of HaKadosh Baruch Hu cannot be completed. Therefore, says the Haggadah Sashri and the Rambam, not in his commentary in Shulchan Aruch, but in his commentary to the Torah, Darkei Moshe quotes this Haggadah Sashri that one should be careful not to say Yehei Shmei and take a little snooze and then say the word Rabbah. Because it means that you're mentioning the name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu without finishing the phrase. So therefore, he says, you have to be careful not to delay between the word Shmei and Rabbah. Whereas our Gemara says, you should not delay between the word Rabbah and Mivarach. Because we don't interpret the word Rabbah as being Shalem. We define the word as Rabbah, as mean the great name. It's an adjective describing Hashem. Yehi Shem Hashem, HaGadol shall be blessed. Therefore, our Gemara is of greater concern that the pause, or just, without finishing the thought, should not be between the Rabbah and Mevarach. Whereas the Haggadah Sashri says, no, the concern has to be from Shmei to Rabbah. Commenting on this statement of the Haggadah Sashri, the Guin in Shulchan Aruch says, well, there's nothing to worry about this. Why? Just as our Gemara in the name of Rav Safra told Rava, you think Moshe Rabbeinu would have said something like that? Moshe Shapika Amrit? Moshe Rabbeinu would ever say something like that? No. In other words, what you said, Rava, is no nonsense. Don't bother quoting that halacha. So just as our Gemara rejects the concern between a delay of Rabbah and Mivarach, says the Gaon, the same response and refutation will take place to the Haggadah Ashri's concern as well. And therefore, if you want to take 2 hours to say Yehei Shmei, go to sleep, Rabbah, go to sleep again, in between Mivarach, that's perfectly okay, because the intent is what is of primary concern. Since my intention is to complete the phrase, we do not identify such a thing as being mazkir shem shamayim levatala. To be the mazkir shemayim levatala. Yeah. There are some rishonim, the Machzor Vitri and in Achron by the Oruch Laner, who claim that this whole Gemara has to be interpreted differently, and it has nothing to do with delay of people falling asleep in the middle of the response. It's talking about something else. What's happening is, here's what's happening. Let's say you're dealing with right before Baruch Hu, okay? The Chazan says Chatzi Kaddish, and it's 10 to 6 minyan at Keter Torah on the express track, right? I daven in Barpak by the Chista Rebbe. If they didn't finish davening by 7:20, you were not allowed to the Amud for the 7 o'clock. They didn't allow you to the Amud. You can have Yard Said, made no difference. If you take more than 20 minutes to go from Adonai Olam to Adonai Olam, don't bother getting up to the Yom. Fine. Right. Even Kriyas HaMegillah only took 18 minutes in that shul. You know, they were in a rush. So, he says, here's the case. You davened with Kavana Atzuma, and the Chazan's got and you're answering Amen Yeheshmer, and he's already up to Baruch Hu. Right? And you haven't finished answering Amen Yeheshmer Rab. Forget about answering Baruch Hu and Amen. He's saying Baruch Hu Es Hashem Amvairach. The question is, are you allowed to answer in the middle of Amen Yeheshmer Rab? That's how the Machzor Vitri interprets our Gemara, namely. There are certain times when we claim that you're never permitted to respond to anything. For example, if you're in the middle of Kedusha, right? And you're in the middle of Kedusha, and then somebody else is davening on the side, right? And you're saying a Kaddish. You can't answer in the middle of Kedusha, you can't say anything. So here in this case, where within the phrase Yeheshmei Rabba would we tolerate Hafsaka? Where would we tolerate? So here is the discussion. According to the Haggai Sashri, there should be no verbal interruption between what and what? Between the word Shmei and Rabba. There I will not tolerate anything. According to our Gemara, between Rabba and what? Nivarach. Because until you at least complete the phrase, we will tolerate no hafsakot. So if you said Yehei Shmei Rabbah Mivarach according to our Gemara, and the Chazan's already up to Baruch Hu, before you said Le'olam Me'ol Maya, or if you daven Le'Nesach Sfar, you say Yizbarach, or take for example if you're an Edot HaMizrach fellow, so you don't just say Yizbarach, you say Yizbarach until they say the whole thing. Say the whole thing. So you're certainly going to be caught in the middle of a baruch hu sometime. So you have to at least finish the phrase. After you say Yehei Shmei Rabba Mivarach, and he's up to you can say Baruch Hashem Amarach Le'olam Bo'ed, and then you will say Le'olam Olmei Olmaya. Or according to Haggai's Ashri, until you say Yehei Shmei Rabba, don't interrupt with anything. Don't interrupt it with anything. What can you do? You can, after you said the word Rabbah, even before you said the word Mivarach, that's perfectly okay. That's how the Machzor Vitri, who records the practices of Rashi, understood this Gemara. The difficulty is Rav Safra's response. In both cases, what was Rav Safra's response? What was Rav Safra's response? Take a look at Rashi. Rashi said, after he called him, after he made a little fun with him, since Moshe is Shapikar, look at the top line of the Rashi. Moshe, the Gadol Adar, Moshe Rabbeinu was more than the Gadol Adar. Moshe, Gadol Adar, Shapikar Amrit. You mean to tell me you're saying well? He's like, ridiculed by calling him Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe, you think you're the Gadol Adar? Are you saying anything not decent? Call Asuke Milsa Leslanba. What does look at Asuke Milsa? Look what it means. Look what Rashi says. Hoil v'kavanaso ligmar Leslanba. Since it's your intention to what? Intention to do what? To complete the phrase. That's perfectly okay. So the mere fact that you delay between the word Rabba and Mevarach, or delay between the word Shmei and Rabbah, is of no consequence, because we know what you're planning on doing. If the Machzor Vitri is correct, that the issue in the Gemara is what? Not pause, taking a little nap in between the word Rabbah and Mivarach, but it's actually a hefsek, what is Rav Safra's response? Less lumber. It's okay to say Yehei Shmei, Baruch Hashem Mivarach, Mivarach Le'olam Omei. Is that what he's saying? Maybe that's what he is saying. That's why you're going to have to interpret it. That when he's saying Leslanba Asuke Milsa is not the way Rashi understands it. Hoil Vikavanoso Ligmar. Since we know that obviously your intention to complete it. What does he mean? No. that since you're gonna finish it anyhow, I don't care that you interrupt with a second in between. As long as you eventually finish the phrase, I don't particularly care that you interrupted it with another thought in the middle. That's how that particular Gemara unfolds. Now, I mentioned in Shul a couple of weeks ago that a Tosfos on the bottom of the page quotes another parallel for this in relationship to the mitzvah of chalitza, where somebody is married, the husband dies without any children. According to Torah law, the woman is not permitted to marry anybody else except her brother-in-law. That's called yibum. Under ordinary circumstances, a brother-in-law is not allowed to marry a sister-in-law. It's one of arayot. Ervas eishes achicha lo tegale. Not allowed to marry a sister-in-law. But in this case, it's a mitzvah of yibum, and that overrides the iser erva. Fine. If you don't want to, if the guy doesn't want to, so you go through a very unusual ceremony called chalitza. Chalitza. And chalitza, the husband, the potential husband, has to, you know, stand there, and the wife pulls off his shoe, the chalitza is not alone, she spits in front of him and says, Lo ava yabmi. He didn't want to what? Fulfill the mitzvah of yibum with me. So Tosfos points out, the Gemara in Yavama says, no pauses here either. Don't say lo. Avo yabmi, he wants to do, he wants to what? To be miyabe me. Because if he wants to be miyabe, what's he giving chalitza for? So what should you be careful to say? Lo oyav avo yabmi. So the Magen Avraham in Shulchan Aruch, quoting this, says, not only are we makpid by lo avo yabmi, but it has to be b'neshima achas. In one breath. Lo avo yabmi. To create, to remove any possible element of doubt that this person is rejecting the option of yibum and now seizing the opportunity of chalitza, there lehalacha. Despite the fact that now Gemara Rav Safra said, less lon ba. The Magen Avraham writes in Shulchan Aruch that when it comes to yibum and chalitza, we don't want to have any mistakes whatsoever, and that the husband or the brother-in-law rather has to say lo avo yabmi without any pause, so much so that we demand that it be recited be nishima achas in one breath. I once saw a chalitza. I went to see, they had one in YU, Rabbi Shechter's father, Rabbi Mel Shechter, was Masadir a chalitza. So I wanted to see how it's done. And it was unfortunate that the people involved were an elderly couple who didn't have any children. And then her husband died and she wanted to remarry. So she fell liyibun to the brother-in-law. And she was not particularly frum. Wasn't particularly observant. But she came to Rabbi Shechter to get married. Rabbi Shechter said, I can't marry you until you're going to get this chalitza. I can just imagine what was running through her mind, going through this ceremony of v'yorka b'fanav. It's strange. You have to spit not at him, but it has to be at his face and land right in front of her feet. Now what happens if it doesn't go that way? You got to do it again. And she had to do it 4 or 5 times to spit the way he was instructing her to spit. See, if you're a ma'amin in Torah, I can understand you'll do it. But somebody, I said, and Rabbi Shechter said that also after, she says, I just hope I haven't soured her completely to any religious connection, because it's a little strange, you know, to do that if you don't have at least amunah that this is what HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, that's what we believe. It's hard to understand why you have to humiliate the guy in such a fashion, but that's what happened. That's what happens. I'm going to invite them. The Mishnah said that concerning the Hallel, Makom Shinohag Bulichpol Kofel, in a place where the custom is to be Kofel, to repeat, that's where you repeat. So now the Gemara is going to describe what in the world in the Hallel are we repeating? Tana, we learned in a Braisa, Rebbe Chofel Badvarim. Rebbe repeated certain things. Rebbe Chofel Badvarim. Take a look at Rashi, second line in Rashi. The Gemara doesn't say what he was Chofel. Says Rashi, Me'ana Vahala. Not the way we do it from Odecha Kiani Sani, but he only repeated from Ana and onward. The phrase Ana Hashem Oshiena is only once in Tanakh. Ana Hashem Atzlichana is only once in Tanakh. So he did Ana Hashem Oshiena twice, Ana Hashem Atzlichana twice, and then Vahala, Baruch Haba twice, and those ones. That's the way Rashi does. Rabbi Elazar ben Prata, Mosif Badvarim. Rabbi Elazar ben Prata added on to what Rebbe did, and the Gemara doesn't explain what did he add on. Asks the Gemara, "My Maisif, Amar Abaye, Mosif Lichpol Meodecha Ulamata." He doesn't begin the repetition from Ana Hashem and onward. He begins the repetition from Odecha Kiani Son. Now, there are several explanations offered as to why there is any repetition whatsoever. First explanation is that the entire perek seems to have repetitive themes. Even before you repeat a pasuk, if you look at the halach, from Min HaMeitzar Karasiya, what do you have? You know, you have Kol Goyim Sivavuni B'Shem Hashem Ad Ki Amilam, B'Shem Hashem Ki Amilam, Dachod Yisrael Vav Hashem Azarani. You know, Yimei Hashem Al Rameima, Yimei Hashem Al Sechayil. You have a lot of repetition in that phrase. So once you had repetition, they decided in the end psukim, which is no longer repetitive, in order to continue the repetition, they made it that you repeat the entire pasuk. That's one explanation. Just to maintain the pattern, the pattern. Question is, why do they wonder, why is the whole perek done in patterns? So some claim that there's a Gemara in Psachim Adav Kuf Yutes Amud Aleph, which says that the psukim from Odecha Ki Ani Sani onward were not authored by David HaMelech. They were authored by Yishai, David's father, and some of his brothers. Yishai Ubanav Chibru Osam. And therefore, the ruling is that you do something unusual to indicate change in authorship. Change in authorship. For example, I'll give you an illustration. Every day we recite Shiras Moshe, right? We recite the Shira. Now, the Shira ends in the Chumash, Hashem Yimloch Leolam Vo'ed, right? Then we say V'alom Hashem Artzi in Lishpot Esarei Sava, Yisal Hashem Amlucha, V'ayashem L'melech HaKol Aretz, V'ayashem Mecha Nishma Echad. Those are different psukim, right? Ki L'Hashem Amlucha Moshe Bagayim is a pasuk in Ovadia, and V'ayashem L'melech HaKol Aretz is a pasuk in Zechariah. So what do we do at the end of the Shira? What do we do? We say Hashem Yimloch Le'olam Vo'ed twice. Why? To indicate there's going to be a new author coming into the text. There's going to be a new author into the text. That would indicate, number one, that the end of the Shira is not Kibasus Paro, Uvirichbo, Uvarshav, Vayashav, Hashem, Alem, and Meyam, Uvne Yisrael, Chubayav, Hashem, Besochayam. The fact that we repeat not Kibasus Paro, Birichbo, but rather Hashem Yimloch Le'olam Bo'ed, is an indication that the Shira technically comes to an end after Hashem Yimloch Leolam Vo'ed. And indeed, there is a machloikis, whether it does or it does not. The difference in the Sefer Torah is how you write the Pasuk of Ki Basus Paro. If it's part of the Shira, it's written in the format of the Shira. Oriach al gabe levena. Cement on top of bricks. In other words, you have a word here, you have a word here, right? And in the middle, there's nothing. Then you have a couple of words here. In the middle, there's nothing. Below it, there is nothing below that. Then in the middle, the next line only has something in the middle. So it looks like stacks of bricks with cement in the middle. How do you write And it's not written across the entire line. Well, how do you write the last pasuk, Kivki ba sus paro? So it's a machloikis, whether it's part of the shir or not. You look at the chumash, a machloikis to Ramban and Ibn Ezra. So if it's written, if it's part of the shira, as Ibn Ezra believes, the way we paskin, it's actually part of the shira. If you look in any Sefer Torah, Kiva sus paro, birichbo farashav, is written in the same format as the shira. So according to our understanding, the shira does not end Hashem Yimloch Li'olam Vo'ed. It ends Uvnei Yisrael Holchu Bayav Hashah B'Soch Hayam. In which case, there'd be no reason to repeat Hashem Yimloch Li'olam Vo'ed, because that's not the end of Shiras Moshe. And there's going to be a change of authorship only at the next. That's not true. The change of authorship is coming at Ki L'Hashem Amnucha Moshe Bagoyim, not at Kivasus Paro. However, many believe that the Hashem Yimloch Li'olam Vo'ed, and that's the way whoever, the Mesader of the Davening, decided to do it that way, that he does not consider Kibosus Paro as part of the Shira. Therefore, the last Pasuk is Hashem Yimloch Li'olam Vo'ed, repeated in order to let you know that there is going to be a change of authorship in the subsequent praises that will be delivered. There is a similar feature in the Gemara in Bava Basra, which tells us not exactly repetition, but another feature. The Gemara says that Ches Psukim Achronim Shebatorah, the last eight Psukim of the Torah, from the time that where it says Vayomas Moshe Ever Hashem Yachid Kore Osan, that's the word in the Gemara, Yachid Kore Osan. I can give a 4-hour shiur on what exactly that means. We will take the simple reading of it, Shitas Horaivid. You don't need a minion for those 8 psukim. They can be read by Yechidus. Some Simchas Torah, what do you need a minion for? Only from Vezais HaBracha until the last 8 psukim. Why? Because they believe, as the Gemara says, Moshe Lo Amran. Moshe didn't write them. Yehoshua wrote them. Moshe could not have written Vayomas Moshe, that Moshe died, the Eved Hashem died, he could not have written it. So therefore there's an opinion in the Gemara that says, Yehoshua Amar. Well, if it's Yehoshua, then it doesn't have the same halacha of what? Of Kriyas HaTorah, because we believe it's V'zois HaTorah, Asher Sam Moshe, Lifnei B'nei Yisrael, Al Pi Hashem, B'yad Moshe, not B'yad Yehoshua. So therefore, that would be another situation where there is a change in authorship and you do something to indicate that there is a second author in this particular text. That's what some people say. The Rav suggested, I think I told you this, that there's something far more compelling than simply a change of authorship, but that this is a very fundamental principle. That when you come to the end of a segment of Shira, you have to do something to indicate that in theory, I should always keep going and keep going and keep going. You have to be the ever-ready bunny. Non-stop. With a battery that's going to be non-stop. Why? Because it's impossible for a person to suggest philosophically, I have nothing further to say about HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So when you start saying Shira, in effect, you should be going on and on. But man is incapable of doing so, because we have other responsibilities. So whenever we come to a unit of the end of Shira, and we are now trying to symbolize, make a suggestion, I theoretically should be going on, but I am incapable of doing so, what do? We repeat the last couple of psukim, or the last pasuk. We do it every single day in davening. At the end of Kol HaNeshama Tahalel Yah. That's why we repeat. It's the last pasuk in Tehillim. It's only written once, but it's the last pasuk in Tehillim. Technically, Psukei Dezimra is over. The Rambam writes that black on white. Psukei Dezimra is over. There are certain communities where they said this and Shiras Moshe. Not everyone in the community had it. And Vayarav Deh, they used to say, only a minute. Al Pidin. You say that, and that's it. So it's over. Same thing by Hallel. It's over and done with. You're not going to say any more Hallel. What do you mean? You stopped him to say that's the only thing you could say thank you to HaKadosh Baruch Hu about the Nes of Chanukah? So you repeat the Psukim. So Kfeilut is a symbol, not simply a change of authorship, even if there were no change of authorship. The Rav said there would be an appropriate reason to be kofel in any event, based on the fact that that you want to make this symbolic demonstration. That's how the Rav understood the kofelos. Now, not everybody agrees, even though the Rav did not find any support for this, but he suggests, he thinks that he's right. He says, what exactly is the debate between Rebbe and Rabbi Elazar bar Parta? Why did Rabbi Elazar bar Parta say, I'm going to start repeating from Oidcha, and Rebbe was in action, he said, no, Oidcha, just do it once, but from Ana Hashem, say it a second time. And how did Rashi know, according to Rashi's words of Rebbe, that he repeated Ana Hashem, and what else did Rashi say? Vehala. The Rav suggested that perhaps that's not what Rebbe did at all. Rebbe only said Ana Hashem Hoshiana twice and Ana Hashem Atzlichana twice. That's it. And there is a fundamental difference halachically between Rabbi Elazar ben Parata and Rebbe. Rebbe is of the opinion that, and I'm going to give you the famous statement in Maseches Brachos. The Gemara says, "Ilu Moshe lo amran, Hakel, Hagadol, Hagibor, Vahanora, we would never have said it. Never have said it. Why? Because we don't have that ability. To be Mishabeach Hakadosh Baruch Hu. If a phrase does not appear twice in Tehillim, don't say it twice." What do we do when we daven, when we say Psukit Zimra? We're saying, Uvashire David Avdecha Nehalelcha Hashem Elokeinu. Why am I having the chutzpah, the audacity, to make an attempt to praise you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Me, a little fly? Why? Because I'm not doing it on my own. I'm just emulating what David HaMelech did. Where do I have the audacity to identify you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, as the HaGadol, HaGibor, HaNora? Because Moshe Rabbeinu said that where? In Parshas Vayechanan. That's what Moshe Rabbeinu said. If he said it, we can say it. That's why we begin every Shemona Esrei with Elokei Avraham, Elokei Yitzchak, Elokei Yaakov. Because even on a broader level, where does man have a right to approach the Almighty? I'm going to be davening now, right now. Right now, I'm davening now. A bunch, I'm expect you to turn off the giant game for a minute. And I want you to listen to me right now. Right this minute. And somebody else is davening at 10 o'clock in B'nai Shul. I'm davening right now. I want you to listen to me right now. The answer is, I don't have a good answer for that. But Avraham davening, Yitzchak davening, Yaakov davening. Bakasha is always permissible. The problem that we have is only Shevach. As Shlomo HaMelech says, Mi Yimalel Givuros Hashem, Yashmiya Kol Tehillim Asah. You want to start saying praises of Hashem? Say everything. Bakasha, anybody can say. That's what Tefillah is. That's the essence of Tefillah. You just ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So the Rav felt that Rebbe and Rabbi Elazar ben Parata were not arguing how many psukim were doubled. That Rebbe says, from Ana Hashem until where? Until Hargul Hashem Kitokin Ochach. And he says, no, you might as well start from Ayyid HaKayan. He said, no, it's a much more fundamental debate. Rabbi Elazar ben Parata said, yes, repeat psukim of praise. For whatever reason, we just explained. Rebbe disagreed and said, no, never repeat praise. Why should you never repeat praise? Because it's hard enough to justify saying it the first time. And the author of that psalm did not say it twice. Had he wanted to say it twice, he was perfectly capable of writing it down a second time, but he didn't. So therefore, Rebbe rather says, Kofil Badvarim, what? Ana Hashem. That's it. And on Hashem Atzlichana. Because that's a bakasha. Bakashot are available unlimited. Because that is, if you believe that tefillah, its origin is uvikashtem misham es Hashem Elokecha. That's what it says. You are to seek out and pray and beseech HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's what tefillot are all about. Bakasha uvikashtem misham es Hashem Elokecha. So, under those circumstances, we understand what he's saying. But you don't start saying Baruch Haba, you don't do El Hashem Vayar Lanu, you don't do Eliyat V'Yodek, you don't do Haidil Hashem. So therefore, Rabbi Elazar ben Prakhor, no, Maisav Bedvar. Not only do I believe that it's appropriate to what? To add Bakasha, I even believe that it's okay under these circumstances to add Shevach as well. So that's how the Rav understood the Machloikis. He felt it is even greater than the way Rashi presents it. Yeah. Loving Ein Weiter. The Mishnah then stated in relationship to Hallel, Makom Shinohagu Levarech Yivarech. In a community where the custom was to recite a bracha on the Hallel, he should say a bracha on the Hallel. Makom Shinohagu Shelo Levarech, in a community where the custom was not to recite a bracha, Lo Yivarech. Says the Gemara, Amar Abaye, Lo Shanu Elo La'achrav. When do we say that the recitation of a bracha by Hallel is subject to minhag? That's only the concluding bracha. Yahalalucha Hashem Elokeinu Hakol Maasecha. Aval lefanav mitzvah levarech. But the bracha prior to the Hallel is not subject to minhag. Everybody is expected, under all circumstances, to recite the Hallel. The Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel. Kol ha-mitzvos kulon mevarech alein over lasiyasan. Every single mitzvah, before you perform that particular mitzvah, you recite the Hallel with a bracha. You perform it. Anytime you perform any mitzvah, you make a bracha. So here too, before you're going to discharge your obligation of reciting the mitzvah of Hallel, you have to make a bracha. Asher kereshanu mitzvos avtzivanu, either likboris ha-Hallel or likroes ha-Hallel. Fine. Says the Ritva, when the Mishnah says, Kol Makom Shenoha, that it's impossible that what? That the only place which is a debate is what? Is Le'achrav. But Lefanov is Mutter. Says the Ritva, Le'olam. Every single time that you recite Hallel, there's got to be a bracha before it. And if you make the minhag to have a bracha afterwards, fine. Can anybody tell me one time a year when we Ashkenazim do not recite a Hallel by bracha? In the Haggadah. So the Ritva asks the question. What are you talking about? Pesach at night, we recite Hallel during the Seder, and we don't make a bracha lefanav. We do make a bracha l'achrav. Some say the two girsot. Some say you say yishtabach, and others say you say yahalalucha, the bracha berchas hashir. So what's going on? So the Ritva gives the answer, and the Brisk Rav is in his famous explanation of it. Brisk says the Ritva that the Hallel Pesach at night, eina, I'm quoting, eina ne'emeres b'toiras Hallel, ela b'toiras shir. It's not chanted within the context of Hallel. It's recited as Shir. What exactly? Now he doesn't explain. So the Brisk Rav, famous Brisk Rav, says as follows. Take for example the statement made by the Medrash as to why we do not say Hallel on the seventh day of Pesach. Why does the Braita in Erechin, which lists the days in which you recite Hallel, only 18 days a year, right? 8 days of Chanukah, 8 days of Sukkot, 1 day of Pesach, and 1 day of Shavuos. 18 days a year. In Chutz Laaretz, 21 days. The ninth day of Sukkot, which we call Simchas Torah, the second day of Pesach and the second day of Shavuos. But the seventh day of Shavuos, of Pesach, which is a Yontif Midoraisa, we do not say Hallel. So there are many answers. The famous answer is, because Ma'ase Yodai Tovim Bayam V'atim Omrim Shira. My creatures are dying at the Yamsuf, and you're going to sing praise to me? Very nice. But what happened at the Yamsuf? Why did the Malachim stop Moshe Rabbeinu dead in his tracks? As the Egyptians were dying, why didn't the Malachim say, Moshe Rabbeinu, Ma'aseh Yedei HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Tovim Bayam, the creatures of HaKadosh Baruch Hu are drowning, and you're saying Shira, you're saying Hallel? What are you saying Hallel for? So the Brisker Rav says, that if you are the recipient of the miracle of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, no matter what the circumstances, you must recite Hallel. You must say thank you if you are the beneficiary of what HaKadosh, of the chesed that HaKadosh Baruch Hu had done. So as Am Yisrael are standing at the Yam Suf, what happens is they actually are experiencing the danger, and the Yam Suf splits, and the threat of the Mitzrayim are no longer there. So they have this compelling need and urge and desire to say thank you to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. They appreciate what you've done. The mitzvah of Hallel in general is not recited because we were there at the time of the Chashmonaim. It's not recited because we were there at the time of the desert and HaKadosh Baruch Hu provided sukkahs on our behalf. It's to commemorate a certain historical event. So the same thing is true by Kriyas Yam Suf. We are commemorating Kriyas Yam Suf, and therefore, for us, if we're commemorating an event which the subjects of HaKadosh Baruch Hu were drowning, we should not be saying Hallel, as Shmuel HaKatan says in Perkei Avos, "Binefol O Yivcha Al Tismach." When your enemy is falling, don't rejoice. That's not the time to be happy and rejoicing. Fine. So therefore, every year, Shvi Yishal Pesach, we do not say Hallel. But even though we say it half Hallel, but it means Al Pidin, there's no chiyuv to say Hallel at all. Pesach at night, however, we believe that the mitzvah of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim is not just to remember the events that took place at Mitzrayim, but you're supposed to recreate them and try to experience the Choldar Vadar, Chayav Adam Laharos Atzma, Ki'ilu Hu Yatza Ata Mi Mitzrayim, famous Lashon HaRambam. Ki'ilu Hu Yatza Ata, with an ayin, as if you're going out of Mitzrayim now. So if we're going out of Mitzrayim now, the events that are unfolding are not events that happened 3,300 years ago, but there are events that are happening tonight, in the night of Pesach. Therefore, we are called upon to what? To recite a spontaneous burst of Hallel. That's what we do during the Haggadah. And the phrase, Asher Kiddushanu B'mitzvosav Vitzivanu, is totally unnecessary. Vitzivanu is only when I would never have thought about saying Hallel, other than the Tzivuy of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So I would not necessarily think I have to say Hallel because HaKadosh Baruch Hu did a miracle the Pach HaShemen 2,000 years ago. I would say, okay, very nice thing, but I have to say Hallel? So the Rabbanan said that there is a mitzvah to say Hallel. That's Vitzivanu. But if it's a spontaneous outburst, it doesn't need the Vitzivanu. Hence, the Ritva says, as amplified by the Griz, that indeed it is true. Any time when we say Hallel as Hallel, it is the bracha afterwards is subject to minhag, but the bracha before is absolutely required. However, Pesach at night is the one time when it is said not b'toras Hallel but b'toras Shir as a natural response, as we say in the Haggadah, v'nomar lefanav Shira chadasha Halleluka. Now that I understand that what? Lefikach anachnu chayavim. That the Hora, wow, because Ashasa Nisim Lanu and Abel Seinu, therefore I'm now saying Shira to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and therefore that indeed is the exception to the rule. But on the ordinary circumstances, you always require a bracha lefaneha, and the bracha leachreha is up to minhag. The only communities that don't follow this Gemara is based on the fact that it's not. The Gemara says, "Kol hamitzvos kulan mivarech over lasiyasan." The recitation of Hal on Rosh Chodesh and on the Shvi Shel Pesach and Chol HaMoed is not a mitzvah. It's only a minhag. Since it's only a minhag, Eidot HaMizrach communities follow the Rambam and the Shulchan Aruch, which says that any time you perform an activity which does not have a specific takanas chachamim to do so, it is only instituted by way of minhag, there is no bracha attached to it. As is our practice with Hoshanas on Hoshana Rabbah. We take the additional Hoshana, right? You walk around the thing, you bang it on the floor. The Gemara in Sukkah, we'll come to it in a couple of weeks, says it's minhag nevi'im. Minhag nevi'im. There was never a takana by a Navi or any subsequent Bezdin that we should remember this practice that took place for 7 days in the Beis HaMikdash. There was no message. Certain nevi'im instituted this practice to do so. Since we emulate their practice, we do not recite a bracha on Netilas Arava. And as I said, Eidot HaMizrach don't do that whenever they recite Hallel. So whenever it is Chatzi Hallel, you know for a fact there's no obligation al pidin to recite the Hallel. It's only Minog, and therefore they do not recite the Bracha. Now, Tosfos here, a lengthy Tosfos, raises the famous question for which we will see going forward next week, but at least through the question tonight, at least a half a dozen answers to Tosis' question. Let's look at the Tosis Bedibur HaMaskil Oiver La'asiyasan. Mitam zeh, says Tosis, Sorich levarech alulav kodem shiyitlenu. Based on this rule of thumb, that a bracha has to be recited Oiver La'asiyasan, which means the last possible second before you discharge the mitzvah. Therefore, Tosfos says, you should be very careful to make the bracha before you pick up the lulav. De'il achar shenotlo, if you already pick up the lulav, mida'agbe nafagbe. The minute you pick it up, you've already fulfilled your obligation. If you've already fulfilled your obligation, Tosfos now operates with the opinion that you never make a bracha after the mitzvah has been done. Never make a bracha after. Once the mitzvah has been done, you don't make a shekel shem and says the tzivanu any longer. Therefore, Tosfos says, how he's going to address the issue, how do we do so? When we pick up our lulav and esra, hold it in our hands, and then say the bracha. So everybody knows, Tosfos is going to quote one of the answers that you turn over the esra. That's why we turn over the esra. Because you cannot fulfill the mitzvah if it's not derech gedilasan, the way it grows on the tree. So it has to be, the pitam has to be up. But if you turn it over, you cannot be mekayin the mitzvah, derech gedilasan. But that's just one of several answers which Tosfos focuses on. But his question is, how in the world can you be mekayin the mitzvah of making a bracha if you're going to insist that it be over lasiyasa. So, but right now at this stage, Tosfos believes that you indeed make the bracha before you pick it up. Before you pick it up. And I'm going to show you next week on a photostat the Rambam. The Rambam believes the exact same thing. The lulav and esrog are down on your table. You say, Shekhadashan says, Tzvanatilas lulav, and you pick it up. Tosfos is not going to be happy with that suggestion because he believes, I can't imagine you're going to make a bracha when it's still in the esrog box. Why didn't he think of just taking it out? But he doesn't want to tolerate that. We'll see that going forward. But that's the issue. How do you go ahead and resolve this? Some Rishonim are going to say, minority, but some do, that the question doesn't get off the ground. because there are many other mitzvos where we allow the bracha to be recited after it's done. The Rama and Shulchan Aruch, Yerodeah, remember, and the Hilchos Shechita, remember that? End of Hilchos Shechita, Siman Yutes, which talks about Berachos Shechita. The Rama says, if the Shochet forgot to make the bracha before he started shechting, you can make the bracha after you make the Shechita. Make the bracha after you make the Shechita. So, and it's based on a Rishon, I forgot which one it was, who says, Berachos HaMitzvah doesn't have to be before. It should be for Lechatchila. Our interprets out of months. Lechatchila, not B'dievet. B'dievet, it can be. So, Lulav, there is no other way to, you know, if you didn't, you pick it up and you're ready. You fulfilled the mitzvah already, but you can make the bracha in any event. So we'll, yeah? What? Yes, we do as well with Tfilin Sharosh. That's a good question. We're going to try to tackle all of the exceptions to the rule, quasi exceptions to the rule. But this is what we'll continue next of off with Tosfos's three answers, Tosfos himself, Shitas HaRambam, who says there are two different brachas for lulav, whether one you pick it up on the table or whether you picked it up already, is a different bracha. And we'll see some of those exceptions and how other Rishonim handle this issue.